You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Locked On Pac-12. We are discussing the NFL Draft Day 2 today. Before we get into that, make sure you guys join Locked On NFL Draft for recaps and analysis of the 2021 NFL Draft and look ahead at next year's future first-round picks. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. I'm Cindy, your host, and I am joined today by Mike Luke from Locked On
Wild, Locked On Arizona. Okay. There you go.
I was gonna say, look, I'm so new, guys. Bear with me here. I'm trying to get the names together. But he will be joining me every Tuesday and Thursday to discuss everything going on in the Pac-12. I am so glad to have him with me. Brian helped me so much yesterday. And so, Mike, I'm looking forward to talking to you today.
Cindy, I can't wait. This is going to be a lot of fun. And NFL Draft, Pac-12, we got a lot of good stuff going on here.
Yes. Super exciting. We actually had 8 Pac-12 players get drafted on day 2. So we have a good amount to talk about. We probably won't get through all of 8, but we do have some of the bigger names that we want to touch on. Starting with Oregon safety Javon Holland, who was the first one out of the Pac-12 taken on day 2 at number 36 by the Dolphins. First, I'll let you start off, Mike, because, you know, I follow the Pac-12, but wanted you to just kind of jump in there about what you know about Javon.
Yeah, Javon's an interesting guy because when you look at him, he is incredibly instinctual. If you look at it, a lot of people talk about, you know, this is a guy that's got kind of Ed Reed-like instincts. Again, I don't throw that out lightly, but that's the kind of instincts we're talking about right here. And he played a lot of corner, obviously, during his time at Oregon. But I think if you're the Miami Dolphins, you're probably looking and you're looking at maybe transitioning him over to the safety position because you look at him and he's very instinctive. You wonder though how he's going to be exactly in a straight cornerback role. The Dolphins are looking at possibly getting rid of Eric Rowe. So this is a guy that wasn't the top safety on a lot of draft boards, Cindy, but he's a guy that I think is probably going to play very quickly in Miami.
Yeah, that's definitely something that stood out to me about him. I was talking yesterday about one of the players who had versatility, and I think that's huge going into the NFL because the more places you can be utilized, the better for you, more likely for you to get that playing time, right? So for him, like you said, the instinctual part of him, he has the speed that you need as a corner, but then he has that toughness that you need as a safety. And again, like you said, the instinctual part, he's known as like a ball hawk, you know? He's able to read, he has good vision. And then something that I think stood out to me is that he played right receiver in high school, and he actually mentioned that if he had actually participated in the 2020 season, he would have probably tried to play a little receiver in that season. So it would have been interesting to see at Oregon, but definitely has the athletic ability to play a corner or safety.
I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly. When you talk about versatility in today's NFL, you need to have a safety that can cover. So if you've got a cornerback right now that can also cover, and as a safety, you can line him up in the back of the defensive backfield. You can put him in the slot. He gives you a lot of versatility right there. And when you're in a division like the AFC East, where you've got the Buffalo Bills, where you've got, the New England Patriots, who look like they're probably going to try to go for another more of a quarterback's friendly style, you're going to need guys back there that can really help on that side of the ball. And I like the pick. I know a lot of people didn't have him as their top safety, but honestly, Cindy, in this day and age, you got to trust your draft board. And have you ever seen a player or a team that goes wrong with drafting an instinctual player? It generally doesn't happen. You generally have a pretty high basement as far as that player goes at that point, even if the ceiling might not be quite as high.
Yeah, and so, okay, one big thing for me is speed, right? So I'm a former track runner myself, and so I always pay attention to the 40. Like, that's one of my favorite parts of the combine and everything. He ran a 4.46 at his pro day, and that alone speaks volumes, you know what I mean? So one thing that the Dolphins will probably look to do is use him on special teams. He actually does have some experience at punt return, and he averaged 15.3 yards as a punt returner in his sophomore season at Oregon. So right there, I'm sure we will see him utilized on special teams early on, and then more and more through that safety position as the season goes on.
And you always hear too that teams get a little bit concerned about, well, you know, what are we going to really do? Where does he match up? But that's where it's different though in the year 2020, in that you've got now a guy that you can just throw back there. So sure, I could be totally fine at both cornerback spots, but like you just talked about, if you run a 4-4-6, that might not talk about necessarily your ins and outs of your cuts, but you're certainly straight line fast enough at that point. And being a former sprinter yourself, which that's fantastic, by the way. You know speed when you see it. And so much of the time with the safety, especially, is you're going to be able to get a little bit of a running start. And so if Javon Holland can do that, I think he's going to be pretty good. Again, I know a lot of people didn't have him. They thought it was a little bit of a reach, but I'm fine with the pick.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, like I said, speed is everything. So you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Everything else you can kind of teach, you can't teach speed. That's one thing that I've learned.
You can't teach speed and you can't teach instincts. And he's got both of those in spades. And when you read about it, the background, he's got a fun background. He's obviously a very sharp, cerebral kid. So he's going to fit in well to the community there. I think he's going to be a playmaker. I think he's a good fit right there. And I'd expect him to be a contributor day one.
Okay, Mike, I have a question for you. Sure. You know, this weekend is coming up. Mother's Day is here around the corner. Do you have a Mother's Day gift for your mom?
You know, honestly, I'm kind of embarrassed you ask that, because generally I just make cards for my mom. I'm kind of an artsy-fartsy type. So I will basically be consuming all the cardboard that I can find at Michael's, along with glitter and crayons. That's generally what my Mother's Day gifts are.
Wait, that's amazing though, because you know, that's a gift from the heart. Now, I'm not as creative as you. Okay. And if you're like me out there and not as creative, I have something for you. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. So 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. So your mom, someone special, whoever that may be. Yeah, so they use only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, and 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect piece to bring light into her life. And they're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. So just search the words 10 by 10. Okay, so moving forward onto UW's defensive tackle, Levi Onwuzurike. Look, I have to make sure I say that right every time. Mm-hmm. Read it right, you know, say it. I hate butchering people's names.
It's funny, watching the Washington-Arizona game this year, one of the commentators was having a little bit of a problem with the name, so he just repeatedly referred to him as Levi. So
we know who you're talking about. We know.
Whatever makes it work.
Yeah, so Levi went, look, I'm doing it now.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
He went number 41, and he was drafted by the Lions. Lions are loving Pac-12 players right now. They went Penei Sewell in the first round. With Levi, the one thing that stood out to me is a lot of draft boards had him going first round. What do you think contributed to him possibly dropping to the second round?
You know, that's a great question. The only thing I can really think of is he's a tad undersized at the D-tackle position. And it's funny, you always know we're talking about football when we're talking about how somebody's undersized at 290 pounds. But he's a little bit smaller there, but he's a pretty quick guy. And I personally, again, take it for what it's worth, I had him as a first-round, graded out as a first-round guy. I think the fit's interesting in Detroit, because for the longest time, since Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley were there, it looked like the Lions were struggling for an identity, that they wanted to find something, but they were always kind of stuck in that 8-8 platform. When you've got a guy like Levi in there, you expect to be able to plug him in and be a pass rushing D lineman who can get in there and play immediately. It'll be interesting to see in that division, because you've obviously got Jones in Green Bay that can run the ball. You've got Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. You're in a division where you need to have defensive line play, and you need to have defensive line play that's going to help immediately. So I think he's kind of a dark horse pick for being a rookie of the year, or at least being in the discussion, because he's going to get that opportunity.
Yeah, I think the one thing that a lot of draft analysts were concerned about is that he's not a big sack guy. He only got 7 sacks in his 3 seasons at Washington. And, I mean, granted, in that position, that's what you're looking for. So I think that would be the one thing that the Lions will look to develop with him. He's definitely a disruptive force. You know, he has all that athleticism and the quickness that he needs in that position. But I think they're looking for a little more aggressiveness in getting to that quarterback.
That's a great point. And Jimmy Lake was talking about, and the Washington head coach, about how he was, he said, don't be fooled by some of the numbers. He was doing exactly what we wanted there, which I think kind of plays into your point right there. Now, I think the Lions are going to want something different. Like you said, the Lions, you don't draft a defensive lineman unless he's a 380-pound guy to clog up the run and say, yeah, we don't really care about you getting sacks. This is going to be a spot where I think they're going to want him to come in and get them 6-7 sacks immediately, and always be in that, always be in that kind of that realm right there. So it's an interesting pick. I think it's a good value pick, and I think it's a good fit, honestly, because the Lions have been looking for help at that defensive line and defensive tackle spot for the last 5-6 years, ever since Sue and Fairley took off.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep the ball rolling, and we're going to move on to Stanford's O-lineman Walker Little, who went at number 45. Another one that I think was expected to go a little earlier, but to me, you know, still a good spot. What are your thoughts?
I'm biased. I like Stanford offensive linemen. I think they tend to work out. But what's interesting about Walker Little is that after his freshman year, Cindy, he was projected as a top 10 pick, somewhere in there. He was that guy. Sophomore year, he gets hurt. Junior year, he then opts out. So if you're an NFL team, you're obviously betting on the come up here, because you don't have anything to look at the last 2 years. But assuming he's healthy and assuming that he is ready to go, he's going to be a guy that I think is going to be able to watch a quarterback's blind spot for the next 10 years. Again, as long as he checks out physically, which by all accounts he did, and it's been almost 2 years since his injury, I think that you're looking at a guy that's going to be a 10 to 12 year starter. And I think Pro Bowl is a very legitimate possibility here, just because of what he showed his freshman year. When you go back and you look at some of the drafts, he was a guy that was being on the top 10 of a lot of different way too early mocks. And again, he's a guy David Shaw during draft day spoke very, very highly of. And David Shaw knows something about linemen. It seems that every single team in the country has a Stanford offensive lineman. So I'm in on Walker Little. I think that he was a great pick, and I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to step in, and I think he's going to be a 10-year starter. I feel very good about that one.
I was going to say that. That's one thing that I do know from Stanford. They're known for their quarterbacks, and they're known for their offensive linemen. And since we're on the topic of quarterbacks, like I'm moving through, because I'm trying to get through as many as we can.
Yeah, let's do it.
I love the, you know, analysis you're giving, but there's someone that I didn't want to get to because I feel like it's a controversial situation that he's walking into, and that's Stanford QB Davis Mills, who was drafted by the Texans. Now, on one end, we already know the Texans are dealing with a lot with the Deshaun Watson situation, from him asking for a trade to now the allegations against him. So there's actually a unique situation that Davis Mills is walking into, because the backup quarterbacks right now are Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Finley. And I'm assuming that most people are thinking Tyrod Taylor will be the one to get the starting position if Deshaun Watson ends up not playing for the Texans this next season. But we also know Tyrod has issues with injuries, and that has given opportunities to other quarterbacks to come through and win that starting position.
What I like about this pick is, if you get a guy in the third round, and let's just say you're the Houston Texans, you're totally okay with, okay, Deshaun Watson's awesome. He's able to play. All the allegations go away. That's great for you, because you can develop this guy. Think about the New England Patriots. Every year they draft either Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett. Tom Brady obviously wasn't going anywhere. They're able to trade him for some different guys, or they're able to trade those backups for some different guys. Now, when it comes to Davis Mills, the thing that you worry a little bit about, there's not a lot there to watch. You got 11 games. You got a guy who is physically has all the tools, but you do wonder how exactly what is his durability level, because he's been a guy that's been hurt quite a bit throughout his career. But I like the pick because it's a third round. It's not like you're using a first round pick on him. And I think with him and Deshaun Watson back there, if Deshaun Watson can't play, you could be looking at a quarterback of the future. You could be looking at trade bait, but that's the time where I take a chance on a quarterback like that. So to me, Davis Mills was a good value pick at that point. I was just concerned that a team was going to take him early in the second round, just reaching for a quarterback. But I don't think the Texans did that there, Cindy.
It's funny that you said, you know, a quarterback for the future, because David Shaw made a great point in saying that, you know, if he had stayed at Stanford for this next coming season, he was projected to be a top 15 pick next year. Mm-hmm. And so now if he pans out well, Houston picked up a top 15 pick at a lower price, basically, in this draft.
What you got to worry a little bit about Houston is I still don't know exactly what's going on there. Like you mentioned about with Deshaun Watson, you've kind of given away most of your best players. I mean, here in Arizona, we got we got Hopkins for basically a dance. So we'll take that. JJ Watt's no longer there. You got rid of Clowney. So you've got obviously new people running the show, at least from the head coaching position. So I'm going to be curious to see how he plays out there. But I think Mills is in a nice little spot there where if he has to play this year, I don't think he's going to be totally overmatched. You mentioned Tyrod Taylor, who I think can be that bridge, for lack of a better term. But you know what? If I've got to go out there and Davis Mills has to play, I think he'll acquit himself all right. I really do. I think it's a good pick, to be honest with you.
I do too, because there's an upside to it at the end of the day. And that's really what most teams would like. If you can't utilize your players in that moment, it would be great to have them for your future.
And you know what's boring too? Choosing somebody in the third round where you're like, all right, well, he's got a really low ceiling. This is a pick that, you know what, it certainly could hit. And that's what, like you said, that's what you're going for in the third round.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to let you know that rockauto.com is a great family business. So I always have, you know, car issues and stuff, but I like to do my own research so no one can take advantage of me. And this is why I love rockauto.com, because they're serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. And they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And then the rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer, which I love because, you know, a lot of times when you go to an auto shop, they don't give you options. They're like, this is the price, here you go. And then you're sitting there like, what did I get myself into?
Take it or leave it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up twice as much for the same parts, right? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you.
And it's an easy website to navigate. I can speak to it. rockauto.com is where it's at.
And then while we're on the topic of, you know, sports and draft and stuff, BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go. We just finished up the NFL draft. The Kentucky Derby was the start of the first leg of the Triple Crown. So get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. The promo code for you guys that you need to know is Locked On, okay? Locked On. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Another awesome product. BetOnline.ag is where it's at.
It's where it's at. I believe you.
I'll be succinct. It's where it's at.
Yeah. Okay, so I really want to move on to some defensive players that we saw got picked up in the draft, starting with UCLA defensive end Osa Digizua. Mm-hmm. He went number
seven. That was smooth, by the way. That was good.
So, funny story, I actually know his older brother. And so I know the last, like I can say the last name for no reason.
Right. There was no phonetics in there. That was just right off the top. That was impressive there, Cindy.
I had to floss those skills. I was like, I know I can get this one right. So let me make sure I say it correctly. But Osa was drafted by the Cowboys. And so I've seen a few different analysis of him. One thing that stood out to me is that most draft scouts think that he's going to be considered the top pick years down the line. That was a worth it pick. Which, like I said, matters most. Because it's like, what can you get from that player? Not just necessarily right away, but in the long run.
Honestly, you're preaching to the choir on that one. Now, you've obviously got a connection there that I don't. But I like him more than Levi, to be honest with you, because I know that he went a little bit later on, but he was more productive, at least from a statistical perspective. And what I like about him, he's also much more of he's a quick twitch type guy in that he's only 280 pounds. But when I see somebody that's only 280, I like to see what they can really do when they get off the ball. And again, 4 sacks in 7 games this year. UCLA was a weird situation with Chip Kelly, which we don't need to totally get into. But kind of up and down, you kind of wonder exactly if everybody was buying into the same thought process there. But when you look at Osa, though, this is a guy that Jerry Jones is always looking for a big bang for his buck in the third round. We have seen that time and time and time again. And Cindy, I think that's what he's got here. Now, I don't know if he's going to be able to come in and start immediately. You got some guys in front of him, but this is certainly the guy that I think Jerry Jones is hoping that he can give his next big payday to. And honestly, this is a guy that I could have easily seen going 30 picks higher than he went. I think he's got that type of talent.
Well, something that stood out to me about him was that he's a former wrestler. And So you already know that your hands, that's the first thought, right? Quick, efficient hands, that's going to come into play in this position.
Right. You can't basically be a stiff if you're a wrestler. It just doesn't work like that. Right. So, but I think you're right though. I think this is a guy that has a ton of ability. And if you're looking at boom or bust prospects in the third round, I think Osa is right at the top of that list, and I would lean more towards boom than bust.
Okay, more boom than bust.
There you go, right?
Like I said, when you are drafting, yes, it's great to have someone come in and help right away, but it's also more valuable to know that you can develop somebody and have them be great for your team longer down the line.
100%. Could agree with you more. And again, Jerry Jones in that division where you don't really have a ton of great passers, you're going to have teams that are going to be relying on the running game. You know, the Giants, the Redskins, the Eagles. You're certainly going to need somebody there that can at least cause some disruption in the backfield. And I think that that's what they probably have there in Osa. I think that he starts sooner than later. And barring injury, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a stalwart there for the next 6-7 years.
Okay, so there's look at Cowboy fans. You guys have something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Mike, I want to say thank you so much for joining me. This has been a great day.
It really has.
I have appreciated all your help so much more than anything because, like I said, I'm new, guys, and I'm just getting the hang of everything, but I'm loving talking with you and Brian about Pac-12, and I'm looking forward to what this season is going to bring.
This was a lot of fun, Cindy, and you have connections on some of these players that I certainly don't. And again, the pronunciation there was absolutely fantastic. I could never do that.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Let me give you a little background. I forget that I gave everyone my background story yesterday.
Yeah, let's hear it.
But just in case there's new listeners and just for you, I ran track at Washington State. So I was there for 4 years. My 4 years were tragic when it comes to football, so please don't ask. And then I went to grad school at USC. So I'm Pac-12 connection through and through. And I know
you're versed throughout the West Coast.
Yeah, pretty much. But thank you all for listening. Also, check out today on the Locked On Today podcast. It's Who is the Best Superhero in the NBA? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.